Hi, I'm Lisa Morton, and this is We Built This City. For International Women's Day 2024, I'm dedicating this episode to some incredible women who spend their time uplifting others and who make Greater Manchester a better place for everyone.
All of these formidable, formidable women, it's just amazing.
Manchester's got absolutely hundreds of thousands of amazing women.
Women up north support each other so much, which is what I just love about being a woman up north.
Really believing in people and telling people, I believe in you, do the job that you're here to do. You're here because you're good enough. It can really change someone's life.
There's a great sense of women in Manchester who will hold that ladder up and they're going to pull you up and they're not pushing that ladder away. And I think that's something that makes me just so proud to be a Mancunian.
You're going to hear about the work that's been done to champion equality from places as diverse as football pitches to schools or even Manchester's dance floors. So in 2024, why is it still important to champion the work of women and create spaces for them to shine? I've spoken to five Greater Manchester women who are moving that dial every day. One organisation that's all about championing is the Women of the Year Awards, which are taking place in Manchester on the 11th of October for the first time in their 42-year history. Zelina Vandrawala is the chair of the awards on top of a role as a commercial litigator for Freeths in Manchester. For Zelina, Manchester's the perfect place to celebrate women in this way.
I think Manchester has always been regarded as somewhere that is avant-garde, evolving, ever-changing. And what is going through its own change at the moment. It's developing, it's 42 years old, it's seeking to make sure that it stays relevant so that it's relevant for this generation now, but also for the next generation. And I see that as a massive fit with Manchester because Manchester is a bit of a chameleon. It is self-inventing all the time and it reinvents itself. And that's really exciting.
What makes you proud to be a Greater Mancunian woman?
I am a very proud Mancunian. I'm a very proud Mancunian woman. I'm a second generation immigrant. So my parents came over and when my grandparents were looking at where to go, the land of possibility was described as Manchester. And I think it's remained that ever since. So, you know, why am I coming back to Manchester? Why am I proud of Manchester? Because Manchester wraps its arms around people. We're proud of who we are. And so, and I know that because I've seen the reaction in announcing that we're coming up to Manchester. Everyone is proud to welcome us. Everyone is proud of why we're coming to the city, me included, to be coming home. And you see it in abundance.
Obviously, Manchester has got an extremely strong network of women and allies of women. So just describe that for me. How does that feel to you?
I think being in the midst of the formidable powerhouse women that we've got in the north, particularly up and down Manchester, I mean, you know, we only have to look at the one that started it, our Emmeline Pankhurst, and just following on from then, it's just amazing.
And then this year, because it's Manchester, there's a new award, which is called the Emmeline Pankhurst Award, and it's Woman of Courage, which I think is wonderful. So how do you describe courage? What does it mean to you?
I think for me, this award is very special to me. It's so personal. And how do you ever judge somebody that has been through this circumstance unless you can put yourself in their shoes? And we've always looked at women that strive in the face of adversity, women that have been told, no, you can't, or that's not going to happen, or you won't be able to do that, and thought, watch me, I'm going to make that change. And when I think about the women that we've had being awarded through this, you know, the likes of Margaret Aspinall, who headed up the Hillsborough Family Support Group, you know, the likes of Katie Piper, who set up the Katie Piper Foundation, all of these formidable, formidable women. I think courage is exactly that, taking on something, striving in the face of adversity, challenging it, and not taking no for an answer.
Natasha Davis is a great example of striving in the face of adversity. She's a senior marketing manager at D&D London, who have 20 stories in Manchester, and she's been listed on the Northern Powerhouse Women's Future List for 2024. Natasha's achieved so much in her career whilst also dealing with some challenging health issues. So, how can businesses better support women and their health needs? For Natasha, it's all about having the courage to talk openly. She told me about the hurdle she faced when going into the workplace for the first time.
When I started within the industry, my dad had just passed away, and I remember turning up to the interview and staring at the door, but I didn't have the strength to actually go inside. Fast forward 7 or so years, even though nothing comparable to that has happened since, there are still times when you feel like as a younger female within the industry that you don't have the capability to push through whatever it is that you're faced with. You know, whether it be a male-dominated room or when you have that voice that's telling you not good enough, to kind of override it and have that self-belief. And I think I want the younger generation to know that I didn't do anything special. I'm just a normal person who kept going. You know, there's no magic to success or to breaking boundaries. I think it just takes passion and a bit of self-belief and drive.
What's important to you about how we do mentor and we support young women in our organisations?
I think as much as we want that kind of gender equality with men, women, those who identify male, those who identify female, I think there is always going to be that difference because as females, we do go through different things. You know, we have hormones, we have things that we go through that affect our body, our feelings, our emotions, our ways, our physical being of, you know, being knackered from the changes that we feel. And I think it's so important for businesses, no matter how big or small, to really recognize that in the way that they treat their employees, and also giving females the platform to know that just because you're a woman and you're going through things doesn't mean that you're a hindrance, or it doesn't mean that you're incapable or that you're not good enough. You know, not only that, we've got an uncomfortable time of the month every month that we navigate, and we kind of are taught to just go on as normal when we're feeling uncomfortable. So for me, I feel very passionately about this. I was recently diagnosed with endometriosis, which for those that don't know, it's when lining similar to that that grows in the womb grows outside. It's very uncomfortable. It's something that I have probably had since I was a young girl. However, because society has told me that I'm a female and I should feel pain every time of the month, I just put it down to being a woman. You know, there's such a pressure on women to just get on with things. And I think society has made us feel as though we fail as women if we don't carry on as normal. And I just really want to normalize healthcare issues, full stop, that women face, because I think that speaking about certain topics, I don't want it to be seen as a failure. I don't want it to be seen as a setback. I think it's good to be open. And by being open, it opens a door for so many other women. When you actually put your reality out there and you say, actually, you know, I am dealing with these things. I've been diagnosed with this. I need an operation. I need downtime. I need recovery. People start looking at you and go, you know, I feel the same thing. And actually, I've been denying it to myself. And it's normal to feel like that. And it's important that businesses start to really understand the healthcare system, you know, and understand that as women, we do go through different things and we can face different things and health scares or, you know, whatever it may be. And I think now it's about, first of all, talking openly about it in the right way, but also companies really understanding what that means. And what does that mean in support? You know, what support a business is giving to women?
It's amazing, isn't it, how much starting a conversation can help other people to open up to. But it takes courage to take that first step, so it's inspiring to hear about Natasha's experience. And I do believe that when businesses support women, it creates opportunities for them to grow and in turn help others. One of our values at Rowland Dransfield is to plant trees you'll never see. Leave a legacy out of respect for those who follow. And someone who's doing that every single day is Jane Kenyon, the founder of Girls Out Loud. is a charity that invests in teenage girls by giving them role models through their Big Sister programme. I was very lucky to be a Big Sister a couple of years ago, and it's an absolutely transformational experience. For Jane, when it comes to inspiring the next generation, we need to start by looking at ourselves.
Well, you know, if we don't believe in ourselves and we don't accept that recognition, then we are never going to pass that on to the next generation. So, you know, when we talk about, oh, you know, our Ella, she's brilliant at X, Y, and Z, but she doesn't really believe it. Well, she's learning that behavior from somebody, isn't she? And she's learning that behavior from the women that are around her. And, you know, I believe that what we do is as much about the women that step up to be role models and be mentors than it as it is about the girls that they actually mentor. Because you can't be, you know, you can't teach what you're not doing. So when you step up to be a Big Sister role model, and you're talking to your little sister about how she needs to believe in herself more and be bolder and, you know, get out of her comfort zone and take a risk and be more visible and put her hand up in class and change her friendship groups because they're a bit toxic and all that kind of stuff. You cannot walk away from that without doing it, because that teenager will have you. Yeah, that teenager will be saying, so do you do that then? So how do you do that then, Lisa? Because, you know, they're completely transparent and you've got to be. So what we see all the time is women having these revelations when they become Big Sisters and going, do you know what? Just been with my little sister, Jane, and boy, did she teach me a lesson today. You know, I was talking to her about how important it is for her to sit at the front in maths and to put her hand up more because the teacher needs to see her and so on and so forth. And when I got in the car and drove home, I thought, do you know what? I'm not doing that. You know, I'm in managers' meetings all the time and I don't put my hand up. So I think that we need to be those role models, and that means accepting your talent. It means accepting what you are good at. It means, you know, being proud of that, putting your hand up and saying, yeah, I can do that because I am brilliant at that. In fact, I'm pretty outstanding at that, to be honest. And you need me on your team. Instead of waiting for somebody else to say that to us and tapping us on the shoulder and saying, you know what, Lisa, I think you're really good at that. How about stepping up for promotion? It does not work like that. You have to blow your own trumpet. You have to step up into your own power and say, I'm good at that. In fact, I'm brilliant. I can do that job, John. When do you want me to start? You know, because that's what the guys are doing all the time. And we're waiting to be asked to the party. And it does not work like that. And, you know, if we want to change the game, we have to be in it. That's my view. And if we want to change the culture of an organisation, we need to be sat on the board, because that's where the decisions are made. So we have to get there. And to get there, we might have to play a game that doesn't always feel comfortable or doesn't always feel female-centric. But unless we get to the board, unless we get to the top, we can't make any changes. So we're in a bit of a difficult situation, women, at the moment, in that we're being asked to join a party where the rules of engagement are not completely fitting with our energy and who we are as women. But if we don't get into that game, we'll never be able to change it. So we have to be prouder, stronger, bolder, braver, more courageous, put our hand up. We are doing everything. We are doing everything within heels. You know, we're not just pushing forward our businesses. We're not just moving forward our careers. We're still doing 70-odd% of all the household jobs. We're still the primary caregivers for our children and our aging parents. And until we start kind of having more of a team talk and sharing that workload, we're going to find it really difficult to do the things that we want to do that we know need to be done, i.e. to step up and be a role model to a young girl. And when you step up and be a role model, you don't want to be showing that girl, actually, you know, to do what I do is really exhausting. Because it's not particularly attractive, is it? You know, for them to see us actually playing this superwoman game 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. And so we need to think about that. And how can we change that for the next generation? And the way we change it is that we look at these jobs and these roles as being part of a team.
Talking about successful teams, we can look at the 2022 Women's Euros tournament. It was one of the biggest in English football, and it changed the way people think about the women's game. Despite the victories, there's work to be done away from the pitch too. Yvonne Harrison is the CEO of Women in Football, and she told me about the issues she still sees in her industry.
Are we making progress? Yes. Do some of the situations that occur in the press provide a platform to really highlight that there are still problems? Yes. I'd love to not have to do interviews about sexism and misogyny, but when these incidents happen, again, it allows us to remind people that society is not equal. Workplaces are not equal, and we can't become complacent because women's football, as an example, is thriving. It's unbelievable the progress we've made in even just the last couple of years for the women's game. And there is a risk that people go, well, everything's great, look at women's football, but we're talking about women that work in the football industry, and our members work right across the industry in both women and men's football. So every time there is something really great, I love to celebrate that. But if we take football players as an example, the salaries are really variable for female football players, and the conditions are really variable. So we've got to make sure that we are very real with the challenges and take the opportunity to call out things when we see them. But also the thing that we do really well is we have a really strong community at Women in Football. So we really make sure we reach out to our members and support them if they've been affected directly by some of the abuse, or if they're just feeling it. Because I think when somebody targets a woman working in the game and says they're not good at their job because they're a woman, how could they possibly be? We all feel that. We all feel that. And it's really important that we're there to support one another, because as much as the football industry can be an unbelievably brilliant place to work, it can also be quite a challenging and exhausting place. So it's really important that we provide that network to our members.
And just moving on to Manchester, I know you're a born and bred Mancunian, Yvonne. So Manchester's had unbelievable success, isn't it? As you say, in women's football. And I remember being at the first WSL derby at the Etihad, which was a momentous occasion. We've got some incredible examples of women who have absolutely smashed it in the game, haven't we? Like Mary Earps, we've got Ella Toon, Millie Turner, Chloe Kelly, they're all born or bred Mancunians now. And so we have you kind of see if you drive past the Etihad or you kind of come past United at times, there are lots of now young girls who are going to the stadium, or they're going to have a look round. And to see that engagement and that belief from so many young girls now that they have got a place in playing football, and equally, I've met some of the young women around Women in Football, they believe they've got a place in being part of the game, even if it's not on the pitch. How positive are you feeling about how it's going to all look in 10 years' time, both in terms of Manchester female players and then also that community of footballers around it and women in football?
I mean, it's such an exciting thing to think that your son or your daughter can progress and play a sport that they're passionate about. And now young girls can potentially have a professional career in football, which they couldn't before. So I'm really optimistic about that. I think it's really, really exciting. But I also think it's really exciting that as a woman or girl, you can go and watch football, men's or women's football, and feel safe and welcome and not judged and not shouted at. And then from a workplace point of view, if you want to work in football, it's a great industry. But because you're a female, that doesn't mean you need to work in women's football. Women can go and work in women's football and leave the men's game to us. I don't think you'd say that to a surgeon. We can only operate on men because you're a man and vice versa. So we just want someone to save our lives, right? So at the end of the day, it's hugely exciting. And, you know, I'm involved in the Greater Manchester Women and Girls Football Board. We've got people at a really strategic level thinking about how do we accelerate progress for women and girls in this amazing city region.
It's good to know that we've got people like Yvonne who are working hard to make things better for the next generation. And we couldn't talk about Manchester without covering football, or music for that matter. This city famously has an incredible history when it comes to music. But what about the future of women in music in Greater Manchester? Well, Victoria Jane is the host of Future Soul Radio 1's R&B show. Every Sunday, she champions emerging female artists by sharing their music with the nation. She's also a singer-songwriter herself, and I wanted to know how she went from working in a call centre to national radio.
I feel like I'm someone who puts themselves out there and goes for what I want. I think a lot of people are very afraid to like ask generally, and I think I've never been afraid to ask. Opportunity is not always going to present itself to you, but I'm a grafter, and I feel like I have to get to where you want to be in life. In any successful job, it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough. So it's just, I think that determination and drive has always been in me.
And I love the fact that you say that you're prepared to ask for what you want and put that out there, because I think, I mean, it's a human trait, but I think certainly perhaps women don't put themselves forward as much as possibly the male counterparts and don't ask for those opportunities.
It can be quite intimidating as a woman. I used to be so shy as well. So like I used to not want to put myself out there. And obviously some men are the same as well. But I do think that as a woman, it's often hard when you're like emerging in your scene, in your industry, to put yourself out there. It's something that you have to kind of build that I've had to build that confidence, and I still am, but it just comes also back to your drive though. Like I think as a woman, I've just been so determined.
What are you excited about, say, in Manchester at the moment? Who's coming forward, and what's your feeling about what we've got down there?
Oh, it's so, do you know what, it's so exciting because there's so much regional talent. Obviously Manchester being and having such a buzz in Manchester, there's so many amazing artists, amazing producers in the R&B space. You've got like artists like the KTNA who are insane, you know, twin sisters who literally sound like they have one voice and their music is so powerful, you know, and it really resonates to what being a Mancunian is, and you know that Mancunian spirit that we have up here. It's heavily influenced me as a person and influenced my sound as an artist. You know, there's the Northern Soul, the indie scene up here. Manchester is a city of vibrancy in so many different ways.
So DJ Paulette, who was on the podcast recently, said that there's only 6% of DJs are female who are playing at world-class clubs around the world.
You know, one of my, a woman who is really inspiring to me is my best friend, Chase, DJ Chase. I have conversations with her and with some of my male DJ friends about how crazy it is, how there's the lack of women DJs in clubs or on events. You know, it's something that is very overlooked. We have the women in music talks all the time, don't we? And the discussions about women and the lack of representation of women in music. But the DJ side of things is something that really needs to be talked about more.
We need to do better.
We do. We need to do better.
What have you got coming up?
I am doing a series of workshops for women and people of marginalised genders coming up soon with a charity called Brighter Sound, which are based up north. So that's something to look out for if you're a woman in music and you want, you know, you might be nervous or you might be unsure of yourself. You might just want to meet more people.
These inspiring women of Manchester have built this city by holding the ladder up for each other, by being big sisters, and by planting trees for the next generation. On the next episode of We Built This City, you're going to hear from Manchester's first ever city centre residential specialist, Julie Twist, who's celebrating 30 years of city centre living. And that episode will be out on the 21st of March. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at We Built the City Pod, where you can see pictures of all our guests. This podcast was produced by Purposeful Podcasts. If you want to build a community around your business or your brand, please do get in touch with our amazing team through our website at purposefulpodcast.com. If you'd like to find out more about how Roland Dransfield can help you drive your values and create relationships that build your business success, then head over to rdpr.co.uk. Or you can find us on Instagram at Roland Dransfield or X at RDPR Tweets. Or feel free to give us a call at the office on the same number we've had for 28 years nearly on 0161 236 1122. In the meantime, please don't forget to rate, review and follow We Built This City. Thank you.